Good morning. How are you today? Good? Good. After losing an hour of sleep overnight, you're not looking too bad. Well, you want to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with this morning's message. Today, we're learning about hot spots. Yes, indeed, hot spots. And for those of you who may not know, a hotspot is very simply a physical location where people can obtain internet access using Wi-Fi technology through a wireless network, maybe on your cell phone or your tablet or your laptop, whatever. Very simply, a place where you can use Wi-Fi. Whether it's a coffee shop or a restaurant or a hotel or a library or a hospital or a private residence or here, right here at Stony Creek Church. This is a hotspot, our public Wi-Fi. And in case you want to log in, you can do that right now and access the U version and get the outline on there if you like. But did you know that long before the days of Wi-Fi, God established a hotspot on Earth, a place where you could get a strong signal, not for Wi-Fi, but for God. And today we're learning about that hotspot. When I was a kid, I often got this feeling when I walked into a church building, this feeling of awe. I was raised Roman Catholic, and we were taught that the actual presence of Christ was in the building. It was actually in a little box called a tabernacle up by the altar, and there was a lit candle that burned near the altar to indicate that he was there. And of course, with the stained glass windows and the flickering of candles and the images of Mary and Jesus and saints all around, it seemed like a perfect hot spot to access God. When I got older, I often wondered if that feeling was just my psychological reaction to what I had been taught, or could it be that I was actually experiencing God's presence in my life to draw me to Him so that I would seek Him and want Him and find Him and have a relationship with Him. Maybe you can relate to my experience, or maybe not. Have you ever yearned to experience God, His presence? Have you ever wished that you could, longed for that? If God had a hotspot, would you want to log into it? Would you want access? Well, today is part 5 in our series on the life of Solomon. The series is called Royal Flush. And today's message is called God's Hotspot. King Solomon had the best hand ever dealt to a king. God had chosen his father, King David, to lead Israel. He promised David an everlasting dynasty that would eventually bring about Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. Last Sunday, we learned about Solomon's greatest achievement, and that was the Temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. It was actually the most expensive building on earth, maybe the most expensive building ever built anywhere. More importantly, it was God's hot spot, the place where His active presence dwelt. It's all wrapped up in today's main idea. The one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else that I say, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write down. It goes like this. It's very simple today. Access God's hotspot. Just 3 words in that main idea. Access the hotspot. When Solomon completed the temple, it was time for his grand opening, just like we're going to have a grand opening here on March 24th, and I hope that you'll invite people to come out to that and be a part of that. We'll start with two services that day. Well, at this grand opening back of the temple, the nation of Israel gathers for this huge celebration. It was in the fall of the year, and thousands of animals were sacrificed, so many that they lost count of how many there were. And Solomon offers this public prayer of dedication so that the temple can now function as God's hotspot. And today we're learning about how God's people then accessed that hotspot and how you can today. So you're going to want to get the password so you can log in and use the best hotspot ever. I'm going to tell you about that in a little bit. First of all, let's look at three things you can access at God's hotspot. If you log in, these are the kinds of things that are available to you. The first thing, number one on your outline, is God's presence. Now, maybe you have been warned from time to time about putting God in a box. Have you ever heard that? Don't put God in a box. Don't try to confine him because God cannot be confined. But according to the Old Testament, God put himself in a box. Did you know that? He did, and he lived there for centuries. The box was called the Ark of the Covenant. It was a wooden chest. It was covered in gold and topped with a lid. It was called the Atonement Cover, and it was flanked, this lid, with two angelic creatures called cherubim. They were, of course, made out of gold. And this Atonement Cover with the cherubim was God's throne on earth. Yes, the scriptures refer to it that way. This ark was built about 500 years before the days of Solomon, way back at the time of Moses. And it was placed at that time in the tabernacle, which we talked about last week. That was that portable house of God. We called it God's RV, remember? Went around in the wilderness, God's RV. But now Solomon is replacing the tabernacle, the portable structure, with a temple, a permanent house. And it's time for God to move in to the house. We pick up in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 6. And when we come to the yellow print, that's your cue to read out loud with me. It says, "Then the priests carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant into the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and placed it beneath the wings of the cherubim. Nothing was in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Mount Sinai, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they left the land of Egypt. When the priests came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple." That's the word of the Lord. This cloud that filled the temple is known as the Shekinah. Have you heard that term before? The Shekinah. What is the Shekinah? The Shekinah is the glorious manifestation of God's presence on the earth in the form of a cloud. Sometimes you'll hear it referred to as the Shekinah glory cloud. Well, it actually is a cloud. It's the cloud of God's presence. And throughout the Bible, whenever or wherever this cloud shows up, it means that God's active presence is there. In the days of the tabernacle, you saw it over the tabernacle. It kind of followed the tabernacle around. It was on Mount Sinai when Moses went up there. And here it is again with the temple. Now, of course, Solomon and everybody else knew that the Almighty God could never be confined to just one place. Certainly not just to a temple or a little box called the Ark of the Covenant. But, in fact, Solomon says later in this same chapter, chapter 8 of 1 Kings, he says that the heavens, even the highest heavens, the whole universe cannot contain God. Why? Because God is infinite. He can't be contained to a physical place. Theologically, we call this omnipresence. Omnipresence. God is omnipresent. That means existing everywhere at the same time. That's an important word. It's one of God's attributes. The Bible says there is no place anywhere that God is not present. Could be the deepest ocean. Yep, God is there. The furthest star, the furthest galaxy. Yes, God is there. Even in hell itself, God sees and knows what's happening. His Wi-Fi is everywhere. And yet God also chooses special hotspots, access points where humans can get in touch with his presence. Where do you go to access God? Later I'll direct you to some hotspots, but first let me remind you of the ultimate hotspot. This one you've got to have. Absolutely essential. One day, Jesus took three of his closest followers on a hike. They went up on a mountain to have a little prayer retreat. And while in prayer, Jesus was suddenly transformed. His clothes became as bright lightning, and his face shone like the sun. And two characters appeared with him. Characters from the Old Testament, famous characters. One was Moses and the other was Elijah. And both of these heroes represented major things in the Old Testament. Moses represented the law, the very law that commanded this structure to be built, the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle and later the temple. So Moses represents the law. Elijah represented the Old Testament prophets. And at the sight of this, Jesus' disciples, they saw Jesus glowing like the sun and Moses and Elijah standing there, and they are terrified. And then we read in Matthew 17, verse 5, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Notice the bright cloud. There it is again, the bright cloud. This is the Shekinah. And this time, it's not over the tabernacle, it's not over the temple, it's not on Mount Sinai, it's with Jesus. Just with Jesus. In the days of Moses, it was over the tabernacle. In the days of Elijah and the prophets, it was over the temple. But now, it's with Jesus. It's with God the Son. And God the Father is telling the disciples, listen to him! If you listen to the Moses and you listen to the prophets, that's great. But listen, above all, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. He's the ultimate hotspot. Jesus is Yahweh God in human flesh. He's the, as we learned last week, the new tabernacle, the new temple. Just as people had come to the temple to access God in the Old Testament, even though God was everywhere, still is, today Jesus is the location. He's the place for logging on to God. As he says in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus speaking, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Help me. No one comes to the Father except through me." That sounds restrictive, you say. Actually, this is a universal invitation, and it's open to everyone. Scripture is clear on that. Anyone who wants to log in can do so. If you want connection with God, Jesus is offered to you. He will meet you anywhere, anytime. Let's look at the second thing you can access at God's hotspot. Number two on your outline, and that is God's help. First we had God's presence, now we have God's help. If you're seriously ill or badly injured, they rush you to the hospital, right? Why? Because that's where you can get help. People come from all over town to come to the hospital. If it's a famous hospital like the Mayo Clinic or St. Jude or one of these other very famous medical centers, people come from all over the country, maybe all over the world. But in the case of Solomon's Temple, the attraction wasn't a staff of renowned doctors or great medical technology. It was the actual presence of Yahweh himself. People came there from all over to find God's help. And you say, well, what if I can't make it? What if it's physically impossible to travel to the temple? Well, then you could pray in the direction of the temple. From wherever you were, you pray in that direction. Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, he stood before a huge congregation and he knelt down and he raised his hands and he looked up to heaven and he praised this dedication prayer. And notice what he says in beginning at verse 29. He says, may you watch over, he's talking to God, of course, may you watch over this temple night and day, this place where you have said, my name will be there. May you always hear the prayers I make toward this place. Help me there. May you hear the humble and earnest requests from me and your people Israel when we pray toward this place. Toward this place. Why? Because it's God's hotspot. Yes, God is everywhere, but his temple is his outpost on earth. It's his hospital where you find help. And so even if you can't make it there, pray in this direction, the direction of the temple. As you read 1 Kings chapter 8, you'll see that Solomon describes several different crisis scenarios, kind of examples of things that could happen in your life or in the life of the nation where, hey, we really, really need some help. And in those situations, in each case, he says, pray, pray in the direction of the temple when there's a drought and rain is desperately needed. When there's a plague that's ravishing the countryside with illness, pray in the direction of the temple, he says. When Israel soldiers go off to war, you're really concerned about your son or your nephew or whatever, you pray in the direction of the temple. And this wasn't just for Israel. This was a hot spot for all people. Notice what he says beginning at verse 41. He says, in the future, foreigners who do not belong to your people Israel will hear of you. They will come from distant lands because of your name, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your powerful arm. And when they pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and grant what they ask of you. Notice he says there, hear from heaven where you live. He knows that God isn't just confined to the temple. Then he goes on to say, in this way, all the people of the earth will come to know and fear you, just as your own people Israel do. They too will know that this temple I have built honors your name. Did you know that to this day, religious Jews face in the direction of Jerusalem when they pray? Did you know that? If you go to a traditional Jewish person's home, on the wall that is facing in the direction of Israel, Jerusalem, and where the temple would be if it was still standing, there will be an ornate plaque indicating this is the direction of prayer. Now, if this was a synagogue or a Jewish home, it'd be on that wall, because that wall right there, because that because Israel is that way. Jerusalem is east of us. It marks the direction of prayer. The front door of a Jewish synagogue will always be facing in the direction of Jerusalem and where the temple would be if it were still standing. And all of that goes back to what we read here in 1 Kings chapter 8, God's hot spot on earth. And of course, it's made a lasting impression on Jews to this day, even though the temple is gone. Today, of course, the temple no longer exists in Jerusalem. Solomon's temple was destroyed in 586 BC, and it was rebuilt in 515 BC until the Romans leveled it in AD 70. Since that horrible destruction, in which as many as 1 million Jews perished, there has been no temple in Jerusalem. The hot spot has been destroyed. In Jerusalem today, the Dome of the Rock sits on the spot where the temple once stood. And of course, only Muslims are allowed to visit that actual site. No Jewish person, certainly, no non-Muslim, but certainly no Jewish person can get anywhere near. Isn't it that ironic? The very place of the temple is no longer accessible to the Jews. And if you go inside the Dome of the Rock, or so we are told, is this bare rock on which was once covered by the floor of the Holy of Holies. And there is the, well, of course, this is not a very good picture, but good pictures of this site are hard to come by. But the actual place where the Ark of the Covenant once stood, there is this indention in the rock, even though the floor had been covered before with all gold, but the indented area is still there, and that's where they think the actual Ark of the Covenant existed back then, or was placed back then. It was the hot spot. Now, some Jews today, some Jews want to rebuild the temple, but with the Dome of the Rock sitting there, it would surely take a miracle. The surest route to World War III would be if someone, especially the Jews, tried to remove the Dome of the Rock. But thank God, it is not necessary to have the temple any longer. Last Sunday, we learned that Jesus is the new temple, the new tabernacle. Remember, we talked about these verses out of John's Gospel. The Word was God, it says in John 1:1. And then you jump down to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling. And I said that if you translated that Greek word, skenao, literally it means lived in a tabernacle or lived in a tent among us. The Word, who was God, made his dwelling, lived in a tent among us. But don't stop there. If you go on to the rest of the verse, notice what it says. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John is saying Jesus is not only the true tabernacle, God in human flesh, but he's also the Shekinah. He's also the Shekinah glory. That's with him now. God's actual presence is located in Jesus. Now, true, he kept it veiled during his earthly ministry and earthly career, and only showed it on special occasions, like, for example, at the Transfiguration we talked about earlier. But now, a special building, a physical structure, is no longer needed as a hot spot. We have Jesus. We have Jesus for that. Are you in need of help? Are you sick? Are you in need of direction in your life? Maybe you need comfort after a loss. Maybe a son or daughter has gone astray. You're worried about that person. Maybe you're out of work. You need a job. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're depressed or anxious. You don't need to travel to Jerusalem. You don't even need to pray in the direction of Jerusalem. You can come directly to God through Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." It's no longer come to the temple or face the temple or direct your prayer in the direction of the temple. No, it's come to me, says Jesus. Come to Jesus and receive help. Let's look at the third thing you can access at God's hotspot, and that is God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. When I was growing up Catholic, we went to confession. How many of you know what confession is? From maybe your guess, a number of you. Confession in the Catholic Church is when you go to the priest to confess your sins, every sin, even your deepest, darkest, most secret sins, every sin that you can remember, even the most private. You're supposed to confess. If you want to get them forgiven, you're supposed to confess. And usually the church provides at the church building an especially private place, a sort of hot spot where you can access this forgiveness. And that place is called a confessional. It's a booth where you kneel to talk through a window to a priest who listens to your confession. Now, this one doesn't have any doors on it, but normally they have doors on it, and the priest listens to your confession, and he prays when you're done confessing. He prays for you to be forgiven, and then he sends you off with what's called a penance. And the penance is usually a prayer or some prayers that you're supposed to go right out and pray right at that moment. Maybe the Our Father, Hail Mary, or some others. You go out and pray that penance, and then you're supposed to do some kind of an act of goodness to sort of solidify your penance. And I remember when I would finish with confession and finish with my penance, and I'd be walking home from the church, and I just always felt so clean, you know? I felt like after you visit the dentist and they just cleaned your teeth, you know, you kind of look in to see, oh, they're all cleaned up for 6 months now. Or after you take a shower, you know, that good, clean feeling that you have. But today, you know, a few people take sin seriously, do they, you know? And yet the fact is God takes it very seriously, as we see throughout the Bible. According to Scripture, sin, which is our rebellion against God, it's our violation of the commandments. For example, the Ten Commandments, the best example, our violation of those, which is ongoing. We do it not only physically, but even mentally or spiritually. That's our deepest and our most serious problem. It's the root of all our problems. Whether you know it or not, the greatest problem you have ever had in your life is sin. That is your worst problem. No matter what other problems you may have, it's all rooted in that, ultimately rooted in that. In the Old Testament, the temple was the hot spot for forgiveness. When you came, you brought with you your representative. And it's not a senator or a congressperson. Your representative, in this case, was an animal. An animal that would give its life in your place. That's what it was all about. Something had to die when you came into God's presence. It was either you or your representative. So you always made sure you brought your representative. And that animal would be sacrificed. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon stresses that the temple is God's hot spot for forgiveness. Even if you can't make it to the temple, if you face it when you repent, because it's the place of atonement. That's where the high priest will perform the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. So you have to face the temple. Look what it says in 1 Kings 8. We begin at verse 46. He says, when they sin, he's talking about God's people, when they sin against you, for there's no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to their enemies who take them captive to their own lands, far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their captors and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly, and if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies who took them captive and pray to you toward the land you gave their ancestors, toward the city you have chosen. Notice, it's toward the land, toward the city. And the temple you have chosen, I have built in your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. Help me. And forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all their offenses that they have committed against you. Pretty clear. The temple was God's hot spot for forgiveness. You know, one of the reasons why Jesus' enemies wanted him dead so badly was because he claimed to do what only God could do. He forgave people's sins. They brought a paralyzed man to Jesus. And Jesus, before he healed the man's paralysis, he looked into the man's heart and he saw the man's faith and he said, your sins are forgiven. On another occasion, a prostitute was there weeping at Jesus' feet in with tears of repentance. And Jesus looked into her heart and he saw faith. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And of course, the religious leaders were outraged. They had a cow. Why? Because Jesus was handing out what you could only get at the temple. You're supposed to go to the temple for that. You don't come to this man. They said, Jesus said, however, in Matthew 12, verse 6, I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple. Guess who he's talking about? He's talking about himself. Greater than the temple. That could only be God himself. He spoke of himself. The days of the temple as God's hotspot were over. When Jesus died on the cross, he did so as your representative, not a goat, not a sheep, not a bull, not any kind of an animal, but the perfect, once-for-all sacrifice God in human flesh, and then he rose from the dead. As 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, he, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. The atoning sacrifice, he's the new hot spot. Have you accessed God's ultimate hot spot? Have you turned away from your sin and turned to Jesus, confessed your sins, found forgiveness in him? If not, log in today. Confess him as your personal Lord and Savior. If you want to learn about how to do that or mark this day to do that, come on down after the service and talk to our pastoral prayer team. They'll be right down here. Let me give you the password. The password is trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's not just a cliche. Trust in him with your whole heart, not in your good deeds. Trust in him to save you. Switch your allegiance from yourself to Jesus, and you'll have eternal life and follow him as your new leader. You become a Christ follower when you do that. Now, earlier I said that I'd tell you about how to access some hot spots, and I meant it. You see, as we learned last Sunday, the church is God's temple. The church is God's temple. Not this church building. It's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the assembly, the congregation of God's people, each of whom has Jesus, the Son of God, living inside of us. And so this is a public hotspot. The public hotspot is the church. This is the assembly of God's people. This means that hurting people, people looking for forgiveness, people looking for friendship, people looking for healing, people looking for a listening ear, people looking for a shoulder to cry on, a word from God, can come to us and find it. That's what we're called to. Why? Because Jesus is in us. Here at Stony, I am so delighted to see this happening on a regular basis. The sick are visited, meals are brought, homes are open to recover from surgery for people. Rides are given when vehicles are broken down, and many, many other good things. This is being God's hotspot. It's what we're called to do. If you join up with Stony, this is the sort of thing that we do here for each other and for outsiders. When people first come to Stony Creek, often I'm told they say, I feel God's presence here. Why is that? Why? Because he is. He is here. So they should feel that. That's the corporate hotspot, but there's also God's personal hotspot, and that is you as a Christ follower. Did you know this? You are a hotspot. Because if you have repented of your sins and switched allegiance over to Jesus from yourself, Jesus is in you. And now you are a mini temple. You are a mini temple of God and therefore a hot spot on earth for Jesus. My challenge to you today is to be a hot spot to those around you. Not a hot shot, a hot spot. Let's get that straight, okay? Make Jesus highly accessible to people. At home this afternoon, at work or school tomorrow, remember you carry with you, Christ follower, the very presence of God. Christ is in you. Make it clear to people that you are his follower. Do things in his name, your words, your actions. Live for him. Tell the truth, but tell it in love. Comfort those who are hurting. Show compassion to them. Confront injustice. Forgive those who wrong you. And those to whom you have done wrong, well, ask forgiveness. Don't just tell them. Show them. Show them the presence of Christ. People will see this and be attracted by it. It's not because of you. It's because of Jesus. You say, oh, I'm no good at that. Well, of course you're not. Neither am I. It's Jesus in us that draws people. Let them hear from you of his forgiveness, of his atoning death on the cross and resurrection. Make access to Jesus free. Make it open. We're going to close our service in just a moment now with our offering and a closing song. Why don't you stand with me, please? Is God speaking to you? Is he calling you to repentance, to transformation of life? Have you crossed over from death to life? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, today can be that day for you. Why not come down and talk to a member of our pastoral prayer team? Or if you need help, you need healing, or you're struggling in some way, why not come? Father in heaven, we give ourselves to you. Lord, may we be open to your working in us and through us. May we really and truly live as hot spots for you. May the presence of Christ radiate from us. May it be obvious from our deeds and our words that we belong to you, that you are in us. Lord God, thank you for all that you've provided for us. And as we give to you of these tithes and offerings, please use them for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.